So here is Stacey Wolfel, the director of the Jonathan B. Murray Documentary Center. Thank you for stopping by.
Happy to be here.
So obviously talking about true-false today. Let's start with, it's a big list, 40 films, but a little different than usual. You've only seen a few of these. Can you talk about the films that you've seen?
Sure. Yeah, it is a little different. Last year, I feel like I went into it having seen 8 or 9, maybe a quarter of the films. And this year, it's a little bit lower number, but happy to start with those. First on the list is the one that was directed by my teaching partner, Robert Green. So Kate Plays Christine, which I think we are very lucky that it's showing a couple of times in a big venue in the Missouri Theater. So Thursday night, and I think again on Saturday, they've programmed it there because it's a really beautiful film, and not one, when you hear the subject matter, you don't think this will be a beautiful film. It's about a TV anchor in 1974 in Sarasota who fatally shot herself on air. And so Robert approaches that story in a not very journalistic fashion, does it in an artistic fashion through bringing in an actress to play Christine Chubbuck, the woman who killed herself, and explore that part and explore that character. So you don't, that doesn't instantly think beautiful cinematography when you hear that description, but it really is. And I saw it on a large screen, though not as large as the Missouri Theater at Sundance, having seen it on smaller screens before in our office, frankly. And the sound and the visuals are beautiful, and it's a fascinating and inventive telling of this story and a type of film that is really sort of a vanguard of what's to come. So I'd put that on anybody's list to go see. And it's a local filmmaker, so they get a chance to see a very high-level local filmmaker's work. My favorite at Sundance was Land of the Enlightened, and it's the story of some young children in Afghanistan, and they have formed this marauding pack of raiders, basically, at about age 12. And so they are robbing caravans and living really the only way they know how after having grown up with the war around them their entire lives. And it's all built, it's all embedded in this fable about how Afghanistan, how God formed Afghanistan, and how one day someone will rise to lead it. And so it's a documentary. There are some fictionalized elements. There's sort of a love story here that has some elements of fiction to it, elements of fable to it. Shot on 16-millimeter film, beautiful concept that the director, it's a first-time director, a Dutch director. Had a chance to speak with him a little bit at Sundance. He spent about 7 or 8 years making the film, was attacked by the Taliban in the middle of it, lost his entire European crew to insurance issues. They weren't killed, but lost them to be able to come back. So he finished with an Afghan crew. And so it's a great story of perseverance on his part. These children, while they're not lovable, are fascinating to watch, and you really feel for them and what they've grown up around. So Land of the Enlightened. On a completely different level, a film called Thy Father's Chair, which to me, as I watch it, and teaching documentary, helps to drive home the difference between documentaries and reality TV, because it is about three brothers, though we only see two on camera, three brothers in an apartment in New York who are hoarders. And it starts with the cleaning crew arriving to clean up their apartment, which is horrendous when you see it. But unlike the reality hoarding shows, which tend to be sort of freak shows where the characters aren't fully developed, we really get to know these brothers, and one in particular who's the main character that we see all the time. And we have this unlikely hero in the the foreman of the cleaning crew, and what he does for these brothers as he goes through there. So it's a wonderful film. It's funny at times. It's disgusting at times. It's sad, and it's uplifting at the same time, and well worth somebody's trip. It's simple, very simply made. It's not beautiful cinematography. It's adequate cinematography when it comes through it, but beautifully made all the same. And so that one I would definitely put very high on the list. I've seen some of the shorts as well. We'll get to those maybe a little bit later. We talk about some of the other things people can catch.
Definitely. So those are a few of the films you've seen, but that leaves more than 35 mm-hmm. films that you haven't seen. What are you really excited about, really keen to go see?
Yeah, I'm excited about a number of films. So Weiner, about Anthony Weiner, the politician, the congressman who resigned after a sexting scandal, sex on Twitter scandal, and then decided to make a comeback to run for New York City mayor. That one was at Sundance. I didn't get a chance to see it there, but the buzz was incredible. People saying it was one of the best campaign documentaries ever done, and that's high praise. There are a lot of great campaign documentaries, and so co-directors on this one really sell it as a story of a guy that made some dumb mistakes, and everybody looks at Wiener and says, "Why would you do something like that?" But also something more telling the story of redemption on his part, attempt at redemption. Interestingly, interviewed before it premiered at Sundance, the directors thought, I think, and not put words in their mouth, but thought that Wiener would probably like it. Turns out he does not like it. If you read some of the follow-up on it, he says it's dishonest and disingenuous, I think was the phrase that he used. But that makes it more intriguing to me to see what he wouldn't like about it. No, it would be odd for any of us to have our lives depicted on the big screen in a documentary, but he's somebody who's chosen to live in the spotlight, so we'll see what he doesn't like about it. So that one's very high on my list. Another one called Sherpa, about the Sherpas that help people climb Mount Everest. And we're sort of in a mountain climbing Mount Everest sort of era right now. There was the Hollywood movie Everest that was out last fall that was pretty good. It was about the same sort of ill-fated climb that John Krakauer wrote about in Into Thin Air, though it's not based on his book. And that was a pretty good movie. I liked it. I actually reread Krakauer's book after I saw the movie because I wanted to go back over some things that were in there. And at True False last year, we had Maru, which is another mountain climbing movie. And so this one, I think, is going to be a little bit different than what people expect and what they saw in those films. Because it's not centered on these heroic European, North American climbers that we seem to see in these other films, but about the Sherpas who live on and around the mountain, that it's a sacred, holy place for them, and how they have assisted climbers, but also assisted maybe unwittingly in the destruction of a lot of the environment there. So it's beautiful. Cinematography is breathtaking. The story is very real, and it's people that we probably should know more about and don't. So Sherpa is really, really high on my list. As a baby boomer, I'm interested in the Norman Lear biography. Norman Lear, just another version of you, who at 90-plus is still going strong and still an important figure out there. And those of us who are old enough, I'm 56, and so people in that 40s, 50s, 60s, and up age range really know what Norman Lear did to change television with All in the Family and his other programs. And so we haven't thought about him for a while because he's not an everyday fixture on television like he used to be. But this film, also from Sundance, had great reviews. And the directors, True False fans will know probably from a film from 10 years ago, Jesus Camp, a very different kind of film, not a biography, that looked at children's indoctrination into religion, was shot in part in Kansas City. And so the directors are back with this one, and very excited to see that when it comes right down to it. A few others. One that I missed that I did see and meant to mention before is The Pearl. Saw it in my role on the screening committee for the festival, and it's a little bit different telling of the transgender story. So it's about a group of transgender women, individuals, I shouldn't call them a group, individual transgender women in the Pacific Northwest who decided to make the transition in their middle age or older. There's one character, a main character, who I would guess is in her early 70s and is still going through the surgical transition. And so often these stories are focused on younger people. And so to see this transition and the lives that these women lead making that transition at this age, and the interesting sort of motherly instincts that come along with it. It's a very sensitive movie, a very intimate movie with great characters, very memorable. So I definitely would add that to my must-see list. A couple of more I mentioned. Camera Person follows Kirsten Johnson, a well-known cinematographer who's worked on documentaries and in fiction as well. And it's autobiographical, looking at her work and the work of others who do the same job and what they bring to the movies and documentaries that we enjoy. Again, you would expect good cinematography in a film called Camera Person, and it delivers there, but also almost like the Sherpa film, tells us about some people we probably should know more about and that we really don't. And so that one is high on my list. Those are probably there's some other smaller ones I don't know as much about. People that I trust, their judgment are really raving about Helmut Berger Actor, though they're telling me that it's not for everybody, and that don't be surprised if some people walk out while they're watching it. I won't be one of those. I think I have it screening late on Friday night, 10 o'clock screening on Friday night, so my wife will have probably bailed by that point, but I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
So when people think of a documentary and documentary film fest, a lot of times it's heavier films, heavier subject matter. Mm-hmm. But I know that the programming committee this year made a concerted effort to include some films that maybe were a bit lighter or a bit more uplifting. Can you tell me a little bit about those films?
Yeah, there's at least a couple. Now, a lot of these films have some uplifting moments here, and you'll find that through, you know, a good mix of humor and some other things. There's a few, though, that are definitely going to put a smile on your face. Life Animated, a documentary from the book of the same name that was very popular from a few years ago, follows the story of first a boy and now a man on the autism spectrum who has a special connection with Disney characters and Disney dialogue, and they help him learn to communicate with the outside world. That's one that will, again, bring some smiles and some tears, I'm sure, as people see that. A few others that definitely will. A lot of people, a favorite director of late at True False is Morgan Neville. He did Best of Enemies last year, which was great if you're a history buff, if you're a politics buff, if you just liked properly spoken English. That was a film for you. 2 years ago was 20 Feet from Stardom, which won the Oscar. And so he's a director that's come back with popular commercial things. And he's got The Music of Strangers, this time, which follows cellist Yo-Yo Ma on a worldwide quest to unearth, I guess is the right word, some important performers from around the world, bring them together and to share music across the globe. So Neville, it does a lot of music documentaries. Best of Enemies was an exception to that, but he does a lot of music documentaries. And so he knows how to weave music through a story, make musicians front and center in a story. And so that's one that I think a lot of people will find smiles on their faces coming out of that.
There seems to be a few films. Obviously, in Colombia, we've got a lot of people interested in journalism. There seems to be a few films, as would make sense, in a documentary festival that specifically look at journalism or are journalism adjacent. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
Right. Probably front and center is Jim, the James Foley story, which is about the journalist who was assassinated beheaded. And it really follows his story, why he decided to be a journalist, why he would have such a risk, and really the impact of his death on people around him. This is an HBO production. It is on HBO right now, so if people have access to that, they might not want to use a film time to see that. But if you don't have access to HBO, it's a great story to tell. I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually doing the Q&A with the director, I think, on Sunday, at Sunday screening of that. But I've been told that it's hard to keep a dry eye through this one, too. It's a very personal story of a man who gave his life doing what he thought was important and what he loved and what so many people in Colombia think is important and love to do. In a very different sort of approach here, a film called Tickled is a little bit of a journalistic investigation into the world of competitive tickling, which is apparently a thing that I had not heard about before this. And so the filmmakers in journalistic fashion set out to find out about this thing and keep finding it getting stranger and stranger as they go along. And so while probably not super heavy and hard journalism, I think people will enjoy how that comes together. And I've said about Kate Plays Christine that though a journalist is the main character, the woman who killed herself, we get to watch the actress who plays her play a pretty good reporter, trying to figure out the facts of the story and the approach that Robert takes in introducing us to the story through her investigation will play well with journalists. I think they'll enjoy watching her as she puts that together.
You mentioned that you'll be doing some of the Q&As with filmmakers. Obviously, that's also a big part of the festival weekend, is not only getting to see these films, but getting to talk to and hear from the folks who put them together. Who are some of the filmmakers that, not even just the film, but really getting to hear from those filmmakers should be a big draw for folks this weekend.
Right. And that process, if you haven't done it before, so at nearly every screening, the director will be there, or directors, if they're co-directors, will be there. And so typically there's 10 to 15 minutes of time for Q&A afterward. And a person called a ringleader, that's the title I get to have for this, will introduce the film and then introduce the filmmaker and lead that Q&A afterward. And so typically the ringleader has a couple of questions and then we'll throw it open to the audience. And so I would tell people, don't be shy about questions. I don't think anyone will think your question is dumb. That's typically what holds people back. And what you want to know about the film, probably a lot of other people sitting there want to know about the film as well. And so raise your hand and go for it in that. I mentioned a couple of directors already, Morgan Neville and Kirsten Johnson. You know, the interesting thing is that I think they've done a great job of finding and always do, finding directors from around the world. And so they often are not household names to us. They might be bigger names on the international documentary circuit, and we may not hear about it that much. You get a Morgan Neville, and of course you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I know his movies and I know who he is. But there are these important people, and they travel the world, literally travel the world and check around the world to find people to bring in.
So we know a lot of folks will get one of the various level of passes and will be seeing films throughout the weekend. Some folks maybe don't have that kind of time or money, and they're looking for the big value pop. Mm-hmm. They want one film to really make their true false experience. What would be, if someone's got one film, where can they head?
We've talked about some great films, and so any of those would be good for that one film. But the thing I'll put in your head is go to a shorts collection. Because for two good reasons. Shorts don't have a good place to play someplace else. Netflix doesn't run shorts on their own. HBO typically doesn't. So one of the only places to see good documentary shorts is at a film festival, and this is the film festival that comes to us. So there are four shorts programs. They are always at least loosely constructed around a theme, and so you can read what that theme's about, and of course online you can see what the individual films are there. I've seen a number of the shorts. And I enjoy them all. I do enjoy shorts a lot. So we have a director who's returning, who had a short last year, Hotel 22, about the bus route that serves as a make-do homeless shelter in Silicon Valley. She's back with a short called Bison Head that looks at the clash between hunters, maybe we should call them poachers, and Native Americans up in the out in the West, and a bison hunt that goes on there. A.J. Schnock, who is a Mizzou alum and has had a number of documentaries, We Always Lie to Strangers and Caucus and some others, has a short that looks at the issue of gun violence that's playing. There's one called Territory that is a more or less wordless documentary about the clash between the humans and the macaque monkeys that live on Gibraltar, and it's funny and fun to watch. There's another one called Varicella that looks at a pair of sisters, but one in particular, young ballerina dancers in Russia, and what that life is like for them, told in a very artistic way. Victor Kosakowski, who's had a number of films in the festival, is the director of that. And so you can go on and on. I think there are about 25 or 30 shorts altogether across those four programs. And so sort of in value for the dollar, if that's all the time you have, you might pick one of the shorts collections to go see that.
So if it's true fall season, that also means that it's Oscar season, and it is not unheard of. In fact, it's a regular occurrence that films that folks get to see here at True Falls end up on the shortlist for Best Documentary Film at the following year's Oscars. I know it's really early, but are there any films that maybe folks should keep an eye on and say, hey, they might see that come next Oscar season?
I think so, and I really look at this from who the directors are and the content. So I mentioned Morgan Neville. He is a known quantity to Academy voters, and so his Music of Strangers, I think, has a good shot at least making the short list next year. I think Wiener is in there as well because of the buzz that it's received early on. So those are a couple. And you know what? I'll throw out my teaching partner's Kate Plays Christine. It's a movie that the reviews were phenomenal at Sundance. And while it's probably not typical Oscar documentary fare, it's pretty hard to ignore the importance of the film and the the craft which with he put it together.
Absolutely. As we wind down, is there anything else that you think folks should know as they're getting ready for their True/False weekend?
I will just tell people how lucky they are to have this festival here. I get to travel. I'm lucky to get to travel to other film festivals around the country. And if you have attended True/False before, the filmmakers often come out on stage and say, you know, this is the biggest crowd who's ever seen my movie, or what a great crowd, or this is the best festival. And you hear that and you think, oh, well, they're being nice because they're here and they're being generous to their hosts. But I've traveled to these other festivals, and this is the best festival in the country. That the venues are bigger and better. The crowds are bigger and better. There's a great festival atmosphere here as you walk from movie to movie and talk about what you just saw and go to the next one. The musical buskers, the other acts that are going on. And so Columbia people should feel lucky to have it. And if they haven't been out to try just to dip their toe in a little bit of True/False, this is the year to do it. It looks like the weather's going to be pretty nice too, so we have that going for us as well.
Excellent. Stacy Wolfel, thank you for joining us.
You bet.